Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the afternoon session on day three at ICMC 16. You can look around the room and the people that really, really care about security come back to a session after lunch on the third day, so that's impressive. I'd like to introduce to you Lauren Shade. He's a vice president of marketing at Allegro Software. Over 25 years of experience in the embedded industry, and his resume is quite impressive, so I'm sure we're all gonna learn a lot, and I don't have to convince this audience the importance of security in the Internet of Things. So welcome, Lauren.
So thank you. Just to tell you one small thing about myself, I'm a proud father of three kids, and the oldest one's getting ready to go off to college. And I'm, you know, we always end up going to these different meetings with, you know, college counselors and stuff like that. And the invariable question, which I'm sure you can relate to, is the first thing they always ask you is, "So, what do you do?" So I look at them and I try to judge. So should I go down the path of, I work in embedded systems and Internet of Things, and I do stuff with FIPS and common criteria and stuff like that, and I usually just say, no, I'm in high tech. So, but for this presentation, I want to make sure that we have an understanding what IoT is. There's a lot of people have asked me, so what is IoT? And so I have a short little video that will give you an example example of a consumer electronics IoT.
This is Ben Rubin with CNET. I'm here in Mattel's offices in New York, and I'm hanging out with Hello Barbie, which is the toy company's first ever chatty, conversational Barbie doll. So let's see what she has to say.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a I want to be a scientist.
Eureka! A scientist. I think science is so amazing. Why do you want to be a scientist?
I always really liked chemistry and physics in school.
The study of physics is incredible. Take gravity. You can't see it, but the second you trip, it's right there to pull you down. Did you ever fall and trip on something?
Yeah, unfortunately, all the time.
It happens to me all the time. That's gravity, pulling you down, sometimes with an ouch. What do you like about physics?
I don't know. What do you like about physics, Barbie?
I see. Have you ever heard of Newton's law? Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. He's got a few more really useful laws of physics, too. Wow, you sound to me like the next Marie Curie or Albert Einstein. Am I right?
Yeah, maybe, but I've still got a lot more schooling to do.
I knew you were a smart cookie. So, what branch of science are you most interested in?
I really like biology.
The study of life. You know, some of the most interesting life on Earth is too small to be seen without a microscope. Have you ever looked through a microscope?
Yeah, quite a few times.
Well, it's a wonderful world to explore for an aspiring biologist.
Okay, cool. All right, so anyway, that was my conversation with Hello Barbie. Hello Barbie is going to be available in the holiday season for $75. This is Ben Rubin with CNET, signing off.
So that's an example. That's an example of an IoT device, and you can there's the link there for the video. And I'll be back to talk about Barbie a little bit later in the presentation. But for this presentation, I want to make sure we have a clear objective of what I'm trying to accomplish here. First off, I want to entertain, I want to educate, and most of all, I want to motivate you to make sure that you have an awareness and for the need of IoT security. And with that, let's take a quick look about the circumstances that are around IoT security. So let's say you're at an event like this, and you're walking around, and maybe you don't have your watch on, and somebody comes up to you and asks you, do you have the time? So without any hesitation, my friends, and without any delay, we all happen to look at our watch or some type of device that we have trust in. And regardless if you're wearing a Timex, a Rolex, or you happen to look at your mobile phone, each one of those manufacturers has gathered a group of products or components. Some of the components they may have made themselves, or some of the components may have been delivered to them from a supply chain of sorts. But they use those to build a product that you eventually trust tracks time and tracks time very well. So what is trust? Well, from a product marketing point of view, trust is the willingness to rely upon the ability of a product or a brand to perform its stated function. Now that sounds pretty easy, but for the IoT market or any connected app these days, trust also tends to include a number of other tacit requirements that aren't particularly known. So in a recent article on Forbes, Trust as a Product Strategy, they go in to say that for IoT products, it's not necessarily just being able to perform the function and have the reliability and the trust that will perform the function, but you also have to have the trust that the product is, number one, secure. Has the company put any forethought into security for the device? Are they looking after your privacy? Because a lot of these things are collecting information about what you're doing, and is that data still private? Is it convenient to use? Is the security that's built into the device easy to use, unobtrusive to use, and is the privacy easy to use? And then the last one is speed to market. Can they continually develop products that can do the above three in a very, very effective and fast way? Why is trust so important, especially for IoT applications or any other types of connected applications? Well, in the recent report from VDC and the Embedded in IoT Security for Consumer Electronics and Home Automation, they mentioned that vendors need to provide consumers with a peace of mind through security in order to win their trust. It is this trust that can unlock the massive potential for the market of IoT. And I have to agree with that 100%, because if the devices aren't secure and can't provide a value of trust between you and the device, you're never going to use the device. So, and the potential is big for the IoT. The market is absolutely big. So everybody's heard about the different millions and millions of devices that will be deployed. They're projecting that the market is growing at some 45% through the year 2019. It's going to be a 57 billion plus market by the year 2019, and it's based on IoT services. And that's particularly, it's a new different or a different kind of model, not necessarily so much with Barbie, but where you pay once and Barbie can use the system for as long as you want. But a lot of these systems are set up so where you buy the IoT device, but then you have a subscription that you pay on an ongoing basis. And that's what generates a tremendous amount of that projected $57 billion. Now, it's interesting that IoT devices are found in the consumer market, but also in a lot of other markets as well. So, for example, you'll find them in the energy market, you'll find them in the industrial market, medical market, government markets. But it's the consumer market is where they're most visible. Even though it only makes up about 10% of the overall total market, but it's the consumer market which tends to be the face of IoT. So if there's a smear on IoT because of security or something that happens, and it happens in the consumer market, it tends to affect the global market for IoT overall. So that can be somewhat of a good thing and somewhat of a bad thing, because a lot of people like to use the wearables and stuff like that we have, the Fitbits and stuff, and a lot of people are comfortable with that. They have a lot of trust in that. However, when something goes wrong, it can be a problem. One other problem that's really kind of disheartening is that the engineers and the vendors in the arena for these embedded IoT devices they don't seem to value the data very much, the data that's generated. So they don't think it's sensitive, and they see very low potential for return on investment. So if they were to, you know, like the Fitbit people, when they capture, you know, like now your heart rate and all that, they don't see, in many cases, they don't see ways that they can get a return on investment. They say it's nice, it's be able to give back to the customer, but, you know, I'm not getting a strong ROI. So another observation is about IoT devices in general, is that consumers interact with their electronics in some of the most personal and private settings of their lives, which is very, very true. Adding security while mitigating cost and time to market pressures is proving to be a very serious challenge for vendors and OEMs alike. This really says is that vendors are running, you know, you have dishwashers, you have refrigerators, you have people running very, very fast to connect these things to the internet. They're not necessarily considering the use of security, and they want to, they're looking strictly at the BOM, the bill of materials. How can I get that as low as possible, still get this internet thingy connected thing in there, not too concerned about security? And as one of the presentations before, the people came up and said that there was definitely the challenge that security always ends up down at the bottom of the list. So let's talk about the IoT security challenge and the challenges with IoT security. Here's Mike Mueller, the CTO of Arm, and he recently had a publication where he mentioned this, and he calls it the ugly truth. He says, first, when you're building an embedded system or an IoT system, he says, you as an engineer or as a company are responsible for finding all the flaws in the system, while an attacker needs to only find one. This is the idea that you have a connected device, the threat surface is very large. It's very, very likely that they will find one. There's no way that you can't write perfect code. It's just not going to happen. And that's why he says you will fail, absolutely. With that, he also says since you can't write perfect code, you need to plan on being able to do remote secure updates. That's an absolute must. Because something will happen, and you also need to be able to plan when your device gets hacked. How are you going to handle that from a PR and an overall business operations perspective? The IoT threat landscape is growing, and it's there's a number of highly public exploits that show a number of attacks against vulnerable targets, and these typically are consumer electronics devices or high-value targets, where in some cases they're the industrial Internet of Things or something where there's a lot of consumer data. There has to be a need for somebody to try to break into something. But you need to think of all of these IoT devices that we use every day in our lives. They're all collecting data, and all of this data that's being collected is worth something to somebody. It also it increases the threat landscape. So what is data worth to people? So this is a recent study, again, from a combination of Oracle and Verizon. And credit card data, just again showing here that's between $20 and $25 for a fresh credit card. If you happen to have an old credit card number, it can be sold on the internet for about $2 to $7 a piece. A medical record. So think of the devices that you have in the medical industry. In previous conversations in the room, they were talking about medical devices that have no security, but they're FDA certified, right? But they have no security in them. But the medical records that they may contain or help augment, each one of those medical records is worth $50. You know, so then you can start seeing, well, you know, you can make a lot of money with the amount of this. So hijacked email accounts. Again, he was talking about, in the last presentation before lunch, he was talking about at the campus where he works that they had roughly, on a good week, they had 500 hijacked email accounts. So if you take 500 hijacked email accounts on a campus of, I forget what the enrollment was, like 15,000, 18,000, something like that. at between $10 and $100 a piece. I mean, you can recover passwords, you can recover address, all sorts of stuff. People send all sorts of stuff in email. And again, bank credentials, you can get between $10 and $1,000 on selling those on the internet. So IoT hacking tools. There's many exploits out there. You can go to the dark web and find different exploits and scripting packages and all sorts of things. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of Shodan.io before. So if you haven't, it's a search engine like Google is, but it's a search engine for the Internet of Things, and it's actually quite scary. So I'll give you an example here of how Shodan can be used for, actually in this particular case, an industrial application of sorts. On the Shodan search engine, you can go just log in at Shodan.io, and if you hit the Explore button in the upper part up there, just past, you can search for something specific, or if you just want to search, just explore around, hit the Explore button. It comes around and says you can look at power plants, you can look at, I picked industrial stuff, and one of the things I picked here was this PIPS automated license plate reader. I don't know, does anybody know what an automated license plate reader is? Yeah? Pretty amazing things, which I never knew, but this unit tends to be very insecure. Turns out that, and this is an actual, you know, I went and looked, found one of them on the internet. You click on it, it tells you what services are available, what ports are open, and with another one search on Google, you find out that it has, that this particular system has a web interface and also has a telnet interface that's wide open. So you have the ability, and what this system is it has these on the back of these, they're both mobile as well as stationary. On the back of these police cars, they have these cameras, and they can take up to roughly 3,000 license plates an hour, what they can scan. And what these guys do, the policemen, they drive up and down parking lots, and it scans every car as it goes by, and it sends the data up via an RF link to a database, and then queries, you know, does the license plate against the database? Is this a car that I should be worried about? Is it stolen? Do they not have insurance? Do they, you know, adi, adi, adi. They also have the stationary down in the lower left-hand corner. This is an example of stationary cameras. Again, they can do it at a much higher rate. All of them have this telnet and web interface vulnerability where passwords aren't set. The company was recently purchased by 3M, and 3M has taken steps to mitigate these errors. And as a consequence, you now on the Shodan.io, you don't see, there used to be thousands, and now there's like under 100. So the point here, though, is that hacking these IoT systems that are around us every day, there are tools that are readily available, and they effectively broadcast all of the problems that are out there for these IoT devices. So what is a, you know, solution, or I want to call resolution? Well, a number of people will say, well, let's just, you know, if I'm in the medical industry or if I'm in, you know, the automotive industry or whatever, I'm going to look to regulations and standards to make sure that I can make that, you know, if I comply with these, everything's going to be great. And I put the image up here is that the industry is moving like the rabbit, and then the regulation and standards folks are moving like the tortoise. In this case, the tortoise is not going to win. So for IoT, there are no standards. It's the Wild West. So you have, in the United States, when there's been issues, there's no single organization within the government that's been charged and tasked with making sure that people that make IoT devices go through this consortium or whatever. The FTC is the closest thing they have, and they really don't know what to do. They've looked at it, and they've come back. The best thing that they can do is they've started to push best practices back onto the OEM manufacturers. And so I'll go through a couple of those in a little bit. But then there's also this other group called the Online Trust Alliance. Again, very well thought out group that they've published this IoT framework. It focuses on consumer electronics and home and wearables, though, and they have this long list of 30 recommendations. But it tends to be very reactive, meaning that once you have these devices in, you want to make sure that you do 1 through 30 to make sure it works. And the biggest issue you have there is they're targeting the home and the wearable market. Well, there's this huge, you know, I want to call it educational gap in that arena, because most people just set up their Wi-Fi routers, and you know, there's tons of them that still have web enabled, or you know, or they're open, just open altogether. So trying to make these 30 recommendations, like the service should always be using HTTPS. Well, a lot of these people, they don't even know what that is. So the general public. So this, a lot of these recommendations from the OTA are good, but they're going to fall on deaf ears. The five best practices that the FTC has been pushing back out to say, look, how can we help the OEM manufacturers of IoT devices, these particular five here, I'll go into them each one briefly, you know, assign authority, plan for security, validate the supply chain, use a layered or a defense in depth implementation, and monitor and update. So what do they mean? And they have big long paragraphs. A lot of the IoT manufacturers, when they build an IoT device, they never appoint somebody that is in charge of security, either for the whole company or for the product. And they say you should do that. Train your employees to recognize security issues and address and recognize the issues as they come up. Again, a lot of these vendors, maybe they're a dishwasher vendor or something like that, they're not used to playing in this field, and so they don't have this type of infrastructure in place. Plan for security from the start. And this means, you know, build in the security, don't bolt it on. You know, bake it in before bolting it on. Have a security policy and procedures for IoT devices. Meaning, you know, example would be like if you need to reset the password on your IoT device or some way, make sure that the new password or the request for the password isn't sent in the clear. You know, do authentication and validation. Always have at least two layers of security, stuff like that. Another thing is to consider, they say, to consider control scenarios. A lot of these IoT devices are used in areas where you're controlling valves and you know, industrial types of applications, not only and the consumer market like Barbie. And also look at the life cycle of data. So if we look at the life cycle of data for a medical device, let's say it's collecting a bunch of data, and then for some reason, you know, heart rate, other, you know, PII information, then for some reason, let's say that unit has to go back to the depot to be serviced. Should the technician have access to all of that data? Probably not. They only need to have access to diagnostic data to be able to make sure the thing works. And so a lot, again, many of the medical devices don't, I want to call, segregate the data or understand the life cycle of the data. And then better yet, once the device has reached its end of life, how do you make sure that all the data that was stored on the device, this IoT device, is destroyed in an appropriate fashion such that it can't be recovered from the trash can? The next one they say is validate supply chain. This is, again, much like when you know building anything, these are your building blocks of trust, and they build the trust with your end customer. The supply chain influences the end product, meaning the quality of each individual product that you build into your product, and that's both hardware and software. So you need traceability, accountability, you know, for documentation for both hardware and software. So if you're going to be using software modules, make sure there is documentation, both from a testing perspective, and make sure that you have all the legal things set up. So, you know, if you download software, maybe sometimes they haven't taken all the legal ramifications into consideration, you know, so you might get sued later on, which is something you don't want. They say also to implement a defense in depth perspective, meaning, you know, combine the policies and procedures that you created before with technologies. Again, security is a process, it's not a product. The products are used to help implement the process and use a holistic approach when looking at security, particularly in the IoT devices. They're in an environment that is typically not homogeneous, meaning there's lots of things around it, and there's many ways that your IoT device has the ability to affect other people or other things that are on the network if it's communicating. Avoid security singularities, meaning don't use a single method for securing something, like just don't do, you know, maybe if you're sending something over TLS, don't assume that somebody can't capture that whole TLS session, or there might be a man in the middle. Maybe you want to encrypt the data that's actually flowing across. Encrypt individual packets. And we know security is takes resources, both CPU, memory, time. So when you implement security in your design and the defense and depth paradigm, you want to do it reasonably, such that you don't end up slowing the device down and it's unusable. So, but implement reasonable authentication, validation, and access protocols. So, the last one is to monitor and update. You should always have an awareness of the industry. So, for example, if your suppliers have had a problem with one of their products that is included in your product, you need to make sure that you address that appropriately, and they have told you and you know how it fits into your overall design. Also, monitor your IoT system that you have and it's been running. It normally has a normal, what do you want to call it, a heartbeat or a flow of data that goes around. And one of the things they highly recommend is to monitor that, and if monitor for abnormalities, meaning is the system doing something that it shouldn't be doing? Is it taking a lot more resources than it normally does? And then also be very proactive and push updates throughout, and again, securely to your remote devices. So let's get back to Barbie. So Barbie was released, as the video had shown, Barbie was released right before Christmas season, okay? And sometime in the October time frame and the December time frame, all of this news started coming out. So here's a toy manufacturer that created an IoT device, and actually, I mean, from the video, it sounds like, oh, that's, you know, it's kind of neat that it has the ability to do the voice recognition, it can talk back to you. But there's some other issues that I'm not quite, you know, are kind of freaky, scary, whatever. One of them is it's a large security and privacy issues. So one of the companies, Blue Box, they got a hold of one of the very first dolls that came out, and they're now been bought by a company called Lookout. And they did their first announcement, again, right like December 15th, so just right before Christmas. And they said, you know, these dolls are really insecure. And they went through and had a number of TV interviews on, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS, and so on and so forth. And he was showing, you know, here's the doll. I hooked it up to my network. And, oh, by the way, I tore the doll apart, as you see here, and was able to find my network passwords to my home. I was able to find all the user account data that allows me to do, you know, I could figure out where the person lived, where the doll came from. So, and imagine you have to also think, I mean, kids lose these dolls all the time, right? So if your kid takes the doll on a trip, the kid loses the doll, let's say in a convention center or something like this, somebody rips it apart. Now they have all of the keys to get into, because this talks to Wi-Fi to your home network. They have the keys to your home network, and that means they have access to anything else that's on your home network. Somerset, actually, Recon did a large analysis on this whole thing. A 29-page report, I actually have it up here, and they found 14 major vulnerabilities, and they, you know, published a large report and ranked them based on the OSWAP rankings. A lot of them came back, were, you know, it was very interesting to read. But one of the things that's really, you know, good to see here is that, I mean, you know, the toys are, you know, these IoT devices are, they're complicated things. I mean, Yeah, I say Barbie is busy here because she really is. She's talking to all of those different cloud resources once she gets configured, okay? And they did it almost right, okay? So they had some security in mind. So they she eventually gets a certificate and she can talk via TLS. So here's this little doll. You know, if we go back one, she's run by this one little battery over here, okay, for days on end, right? And she talks via TLS, and she, you know, up to the cloud. They encrypt the voice, then they send it down the channel. That's all fine. But the real problems are they didn't take a holistic approach, okay? So, for example, if you need to reset your password to this whole system, all the resets and the new passwords are sent in the clear. When you initially first bring the doll up, or you know, the root of trust doesn't start back at the manufacturer. It starts when you pull the doll out of the packaging and you hold the belt buckle on the front and the back. It then opens up a free Wi-Fi that says Barbie 2XXXX, and anybody can attach to that Barbie and then you know, give it keys and stuff like that. This turns out to be, you know, with the Android and iOS apps, this happens to be the biggest way that they could get into the overall system and be able to have access to these cloud services. Now, here comes one of the scary parts, is that they did a lot of security right, but then once you get up into the cloud, they didn't take a holistic approach there. They were looking at, it turns out every time you talk to the Barbie, they store that. Okay, so your kid is, it's like having a best friend, but your best friend tells everybody what you've said. Okay? And so, and the idea was so the parents could listen in on the conversations that the kids have with the doll. The problem is that in the privacy statement that they, that Barbie has, they said that Mattel was going to go and transcribe all of that and to try to get data out of it. That's not a good thing. So, you know, so they did some things right, you know, from a security perspective, but then they didn't take a holistic approach, and they also, I think, they bit off something that was, I mean, because this is non-trivial. There's a lot that's going on here for a doll that sells for $75. That's probably got a BOM of $35, okay, and how can they get all this done for $35 and run for years and years? So, as I mentioned, Barbie is busy. So, conclusions here. IoT security, the consumer electronics space mindset must change, because they need to understand that whether it's a light bulb going on or off in your home and you're monitoring this with an IoT system, that data is still valuable, particularly when it's correlated with maybe other data, like you might be able to use that to determine if you've been in or out of your home in the last day or two. And if you haven't been, then maybe, you know, okay, this home is a target to be attacked for somebody to, you know, come and break in the home. IoT security is difficult, and you must think of it in a holistic view. And that means that the IoT device in this particular case is in your home. It has access for it to even work. It has to have access to your home wireless network. But then you need to understand, and your cell phone. There's an app on your cell phone, and then you use your browser to communicate with the cloud. But there's a lot of other things that can be, that are on your home network as well. And those things need to be guarded in some way, shape, or form. The company didn't take those into account. The other thing is, for IoT security, people building these IoT devices, security typically is not in the domain of what they typically do. So, like I said, a Barbie, a Mattel, a toy company, doesn't normally build IoT devices that should be able to stand the rigor of physical security. When you take it apart, it should kind of self-destruct in some way, maybe, or, you know, some, you know, they're just not domain experts in IoT, in IoT security. They're looking to have somebody just, you know, here, put this one little module in and it'll work. In this particular case, they used a Marvell chipset, which actually happens to have a a sample IoT application. They changed very little to that example that, Marvell gives, and all they did is all of those cloud services were normally Amazon Web Services, but they then made them their own private services. That's the only difference that they did. And you also need to make sure for IoT security that secure remote updates are definitely implemented properly. And again, they don't have the ability, they have the ability to update the app, but they had no ability to update the firmware on the doll. Another IoT gap in consumer electronics is the gaping hole in home security knowledge. Again, many of the people in homes don't understand or know anything about security for the home. A lot of the wireless routers in homes today have never had the passwords changed. They may or may not even have WEP enabled. A lot of them are open, or they may use WEP. They don't know that, you know, WPA is far better with pre-shared keys. The other thing is IoT elsewhere outside of the consumer space also needs implementation guidance. So for example, with the license plate, automated license plates readers, the defaults for that system are there's no password and there's an open telnet. But my understanding was is that it's configurable that you could set up stuff. So again, think of where the license plate readers are installed. They're installed, in police, a police station may be in charge of it or something like that. A small municipality doesn't have an IT environment, a strong IT environment or background to be able to understand and utilize security in a proper way to handle something like that. And in this particular case, people would be able to get in and delete all of the photos or look at all the data as it's coming by. So definitely something to be concerned about. So with that, I'll take any questions. I have my email address. You can also get a copy of the presentation at this, off of the website here, as well as the one on Allegro. We also have something called the IoT Security Forum that we started on LinkedIn. It's a group that has a lot of information and tools about IoT security and safety. And so it's something you can join and have another, continue the discussion there.
Did you look at any IoT that did payment transactions?
I did not. But there are many IoT devices that are in that realm. And it's, again, the frightening.
Thanks for the presentation. Really good. Two questions. One is, since you're in the embedded industry, what's your thought right now as far as the number of devices, as far as on a percentage, that cannot be updated, that simply aren't able to be patched? What do you figure, 50, 80%?
It's a lot. It's a lot. It's. I would say it's well over 50. I would say it's between 80.
Okay.
Well, there's more and more coming out. But, as of, let's say, 3 years ago, I would say it would be upper of 90%. But the thing is that, so Allegro is a software vendor. We deliver the latest patch release of our software to our customers.
Yeah.
But it's up to our customers who actually put the software in the device,
yes,
to push it out to the actual end, widget, wham bam, whatever it is.
Yes.
And so a lot of those people have a firmware update capability, but a lot of the people previously did not. And there was a presentation here earlier about the lifespan of different embedded products, particularly in cars. They're saying it's a 10-year life cycle. You will find for embedded systems that once it gets stuck up on the ceiling somewhere or something like that,
it's not going away.
It's there for the life of the building. And so that's another supply chain problem, if you will.
So the other question would be, I don't know if you have an ability to predict a little bit of because you mentioned the FCC not doing much and you just have some things. Where do you think, or when do you think we'd have some concrete guidance, standards-like things that will be made available to general public to lean against and say, okay, well, you should have at least these things, and here's the body that says this?
Well, the Online Trust Authority, OTA, that I did mention, they do have something out there now, but it's specifically targeted towards stuff that's in the home and wearables. And they have that list of 30 things that they recommend that, you know, anytime you get an IoT device, you as the consumer need to go down this list of 30 things. Which,
like for medical or whatever.
It's, yeah, it needs to be done.
So my presentation this morning had a similar conclusion to your own about the holistic nature of security and the lack of expertise in the security domain that a lot of the people working on embedded products, which is basically what the automotive industry is doing. So it's very, very similar in nature to the IoT. I mean, the car is really just an extension of the IoT system in just a different form. And the thing that really I find a little bit concerning is that there doesn't seem to be any direction on standardization for security technology and procedures like there is perhaps in safety. As you may be aware of the ISO 26262, which is an international standard that applies to vehicle safety in many different forms. It's a very large document. Yeah. Do you think anything like that will ever emerge for security that I hope might encompass both IoT and vehicle security?
Well, I think, is there a need? Absolutely, there's a tremendous need for it because, as I mentioned before, this is really the wild, wild west. Companies are kind of left to their own and to be able to police themselves as to, you know, if there's a data breach on credit card data or whatever. They kind of self-report or kind of try to self-fix. There is no, unfortunately, at least in the United States, there's no standards body. It's a problem looking for a home. And there's no organization that's ready and willing and able to take it on. And unfortunately, as I mentioned, IoT security, IoT in general, the face of IoT is the consumer market. And so if there's a massive breach or something that happens in the consumer market, like, you know, like a Sony or something like that, it's going to affect the overall IoT industry that's used in, you know, industrial IoT or medical or so on and so forth, because people are going to say, well, this stuff really isn't safe. Well, it can be, but, you know, the standards and everything, you know, haven't been created.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I've found is that there are standards, but they're very segmented. So there are some standards coming out of the U.S., certainly for automotive and SAE, and, you know, there's obviously FIPS and things like that. And in Europe, there are different standards, but they don't seem to be coalescing in any particular way.
Right, yeah. And so you may have them for the automotive industry, but how does that apply to Barbie? Or how does that apply to a medical device? Yeah, we heard this morning there was another, these devices that go through the FDA and they're FDA certified. I personally have a number of products that have gone through that. A clinical urine analysis machine, a thoracic cut and staple device. Those are all embedded systems that communicate with other things in the OR or in the using health level 7 and all that kind of stuff. But there's no talk about security. So there's this just big gaping hole. Any other questions? Thank you.